I feel like I have to do it in Mason's absence.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the proper way to get Super Crosstalk kicked off.
I mean, if Mace cared that much about it, he'd be here.
I don't know if he cares as much about it as I do, but what are you going to do? Today's National Greasy Food Day.
Oh, yeah. I live for that.
Okay. So, yeah. This is the right crowd. I feel like we've got the right. Maybe, Andy, you might want to sit this one out. You look like you might eat healthy in your life.
I eat fairly healthy, but that does not mean that I don't appreciate the unhealthy.
Okay. Okay. So, let's start right here. Yours was...
I said anything with bacon.
Bacon is his favorite greasy food. I'm French fries. That's my go-to thing. Ramona.
Yeah. French fries are up there. That's pretty good. I'm kind of into, like, especially now that I'm not having dairy, I'm kind of into, like, the cheese paper of, like, a, like, if you get, like, a big greasy burger.
Oh.
And, like, you know how the, like, you go to In-N-Out and, like, the cheese melts on the paper and stuff, and it's all greasy and stuff. And, like, I remember when I first started dating Nevin, my husband, he would, like, eat his burger and he'd leave the cheese on the paper. And I was like,
why did you ever go on a second date?
No, and I said, wait. Finish this. I go, wait, are you not going to eat your cheese paper? And he was like, no, do you want it? And I was like, yes, I do. Give me that cheese paper. So I
That's how you know there was the second date right there.
And I was like, this is going to work out just fine.
She's a keeper.
you get extra cheese paper, right?
Give me the, like,
you don't have to share yours, and
hell,
you get all of his.
Like, don't bother opening the door for me, anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt.
Andy?
You know, it used to be for me pizza, but I feel like over the last 10 or 15 years, pizza has kind of classed itself up to the point where it's not really considered pure grease food anymore.
Ah.
So I'm saying either fries, or I don't do this often, but boy, do I crave them. Loaded skins.
Ooh.
Oh,
loaded
skins.
Yeah.
Or nachos.
Is that greasy?
Well, the chips are.
Yeah.
But chips, the cheese.
Yeah. The cheese can
depends on what you put on it.
Yeah. Sour cream's terrible. Yeah,
you've talked me into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Nachos.
Not bad.
I was at a Halloween party this weekend. And
kid or adult?
It was
important distinction. Yeah.
Kind of a combination of both.
Okay.
There were adults that are supervised the children, but the people holding the party have a small child. And I think in a lot of ways it was for all of us to meet the small child.
Okay.
But they had, like, old-fashioned nachos there with, like, the melted cheese that you ladled on yourself.
Like the time you get at the Dodger game, that kind of stuff?
Yes. It was sense memory baseball game. Oh, my.
Look at DeMarco's face.
I'm sorry.
He's off in another world right now.
Because they ruin nachos now. Like, if you go to a baseball game or sporting event, like, they put the cheese in the little side triangle.
Yeah, you gotta
like
drip it over the top.
Yeah. It's a dip now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you're going to, like, a Michelin restaurant or something. Like, they all happen to, like, the cheese all over the chips with the jalapenos on it. Like,
somebody was offended.
Yeah.
Ramona, have you had the Halloween party for your oldest yet where you have to go and socialize with all the other parents?
I was going to go to one of those, like, Halloween experiences. You know, like the way they have the light shows and all that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was going to go to one of those, but then my oldest was sick, so we kept him home because it was cold and windy last night. But so he's not quite at the, like, socialize with other kids Halloween version yet. It's more like we go to the party store. He picks out 7 costumes he wants. I say, we need to choose one. I get one. And then the next day he goes, can we go to the party store again?
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow I want to be something else. But there's no concept of, like, waiting for Halloween. He just wants to wear it now.
He wants to wear it around the house?
Yeah. He wore his dinosaur costume already. He's got a pirate costume.
He's like Dale from Step
Brothers. Yeah, he's dressed up as Cookie Monster. Like, it's kind of fun.
I've always, because the reason I ask is, DeMarco, you've been through, you have an older daughter and a daughter who's this age now, too. When you go to those adult and kid parties, and all the kids kind of know each other, or kids don't really care if they know each other or not. They kind of interact pretty seamlessly. What do you do in those situations where you're around and everybody's not really knowing each other all that well, but there's drinking to be had? Do you dive right in or do you slow play it?
Right to the bar. right to the bar.
It kind of depends on how tired I am from talking to people throughout the day. Because, like, you host a radio show every day. It's a lot of talking.
It is.
It's a lot of talking.
Yeah.
You know, and it depends on what kind of, like, when I get off the air, I'll drive home and I kind of talk to people on the drive home. But, like, by the time I get home, it's like Nevin wants to talk to me. And I'm like, yeah, this has been a lot of words already today. It's been a lot of talking. Wow. I just need to not talk to you for a minute. So like if I have to go to a party after I've been talking a lot.
So this has to be 10,000 times worse for you.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're
on
TV, because people know who you are, because people know what you look like. They you're,
I wear the mask.
You're the NBA person.
I'm serious. I wear the mask all the time. I mean, that's not the only reason I wear the mask. I still have a baby at home, so I try to be careful. But like when I go
COVID
to games
mask?
Now.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. When I go to games now, I just keep it on.
Wow.
Keep it on.
But, okay.
I don't want to get recognized.
But you go to the party with your children. You have the mask on, but
no,
people are going to recognize you regardless.
It kind of depends on if it's moms or dads. Moms don't recognize me. It's great. They don't care at all.
So it's all the dads that
the
want
dads will recognize
Russell
me.
Westbrook scoops.
Yeah.
Woody, how do you deflect?
Wow. Yeah.
Or do you engage?
I give a one line. I give like a okay, so I was up doing a I was up doing a an interview. I'm doing a story on Klay Thompson right now, right? So I was out to coffee with one of the assistant coaches on the team, and like I get recognized, he gets recognized by a Warriors fan, and like people are just amazing to me. They go right up to you and they go, "Hey, so how's Draymond and Jordan Poole?" And you're like, I mean, do you really think this assistant coach is going to tell you anything at this moment? Like,
you never know till you try.
Or me as a media? Like, you really think
the answer is
like,
always no unless you ask.
Right.
Unless you ask, I guess.
Legit question. Like, I was just about
like,
to
I
ask you.
I was kind of like, do you want me to handle this? Or you want to handle this? Like, I was like, I think it's a you thing. You're the coach. So he just basically was like, they're fine. They're good. We're all good. Everybody's good.
Yeah.
And I said something like, you know, they played all right last night. You know, something like that.
Good
like,
standard answer. Yeah.
You know what my favorite one is? And I've been well established as an antisocial person that I just don't. The chit chat is fine as long as it's not sports chit chat for the most part.
Totally.
Like, I'm okay if you want to talk about cars or the weather or your movies. I'm here for that. But the second it's a Dodger, Laker, Ram thing, it's very quickly, if you just go with a, I don't know, man. Because you clearly do, but I just don't want to talk about it.
The other day, okay, let's see how Travis, let's role play, okay? So I'm at the Lakers-Blazers game, and I kind of sit underneath the basket. It's usually on the opposing team side. So fans will come up to me and say like, hey, what, you know, those, hey, Momo, what's up, right? They want to talk about, this one guy comes up, and he comes in with like, hey, you know, it just seems like they're not moving the ball and they're not passing out of the double teams and da 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 da. I can't believe they lost this game, you know. And it was like he wanted credit as a basketball analyst, like, oh, they're not moving the ball, not swinging, you know, like that. And I was just like, I don't know, they can't shoot the three. Like, they just, and I said one thing, and then he came back with like another round of analysis. And I was just like, you got it, man, you're on it.
Well,
wow.
That was my. You got it, man. You're on it. I got to get to the locker room.
That's a wonderfully dismissive way.
Right?
That's really good because
you like that one.
You nailed it. It's this. What he's hoping for is a he.
Yeah.
Okay. What he was hoping for was, wow, you really know basketball. Have you ever thought about writing? Have you
that's
ever thought
right.
about being
on
TV?
Yeah.
You must be a coach.
Yeah.
He wanted the validation of I recognize the thing that basketball people would say.
Because I wanted to point out, like, it's not because they're not moving the ball or that they're just not making any shots. Like they really suck from 3-point there. Like, that's kind of the point. But, like, you don't really want me to say anything right there. Like, doesn't matter what I say back. You just want a little attaboy, right? So, like,
Andy, you strike me as somebody that could drop the hammer pretty quickly on those on those situations. Like, what is your go-to? I don't want to talk about this.
Well, I mean, I came to enjoy, let me preface this by saying, I was very anti-pandemic.
Like, okay.
I was certainly not in favor of a global pandemic.
Weird.
But I did come to enjoy the idea of masks on,
the pandemic.
Distance,
isolation.
Less reason for random people in my neighborhood who've somehow come to realize I cover sports and wanting to come to me as their oracle for sports questions. Like, hey buddy, buddy, 6 feet.
Yeah.
Can't hear you. Whoa, what's that just say?
How many times do you have to ask somebody that? I don't get it. What about you?
It depends.
You're too nice.
If it's an adult, I'm kind of like Momo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right on. You're perfect.
Yeah.
You're great.
Because I don't want to say anything mad. They're the fans, you know, like, but they're excited about their team or
but
whatever.
But every now and then, you'll get a kid that's dead on.
Uh-huh.
Dead on with his analysis. That I'll engage because I think that's fascinating. I really do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What if it's the Chris Farley? Where, hey, remember that one time you were on the Super Bowl team? what if
I get that a lot. I get that a lot. It's amazing, though. It's amazing, though. I mean, like, when he's that well-researched and he's dead on with something, then I'll engage. We'll have that conversation.
Did you guys happen to see what Justin Turner posted earlier today?
Uh-uh.
So he posted a relatively long set. I thought it was really good. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you could feel the pain in his statement. I'm assuming he wrote this. He writes really well. And it's just about how this, we're not okay with what happened. I'll read you this. There are no excuses, finger pointing, or coulda, woulda, shouldas that will make this go away for a team that had the season we had. This is gut-wrenching and hard to accept. And he thanks Dodger fans for their loyalty and support. Oddly, it makes it more palatable to me to hear that he's in pain the way that Dodger fans are.
After 111 wins, you want them to feel this the way you did. Like, maybe it's just because I've heard over the last couple of days, you know, every in and out of shows and stuff, there's this conversation point about how the Dodgers need a guy in the clubhouse who is more passionate, more energetic, like somebody who will keep them from being too casual and complacent. So I guess if you're somebody who feels that way, it becomes reassuring to hear, like, no, these guys felt it as much as I felt it, the fan.
Well, you know what? There's more to this that I think is important, too, okay? He says, for a team that had the season we had, this is gut-wrenching and hard to accept. And because we all feel the same way, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your passion, loving this team so much that it hurts so bad when we fall short. Thank you for your loyalty, even when we don't get the results we want. I still see those LA hats being worn proudly around Los Angeles. That's good.
It's great.
That's the right sentiment.
It is, because I think, Ramona, part of it too, when you hear Andrew, and I'm not suggesting that Andrew Friedman doesn't care. That's not the point of this. But when you hear him say, listen, baseball is weird. It's random that, you know, the best team doesn't always win the World Series. Sometimes stuff just doesn't break your way. It leaves you like, dude.
That just made me mad.
Yeah. I'm not feeling it from you the way I'm feeling it from
myself.
Sounds
like a robot.
Except, though, here's the thing. He's right.
Of course he is.
And we know he's right because we spent the whole year talking about it doesn't matter if they won 111 games. You know why? Because baseball's weird and random and anybody can win in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't want to hear that now, though.
You know, when you lose like that, it is 100 miles an hour to zero. It is so abrupt. And every season feels like an abrupt ending because you're in it and you're so in it. And then it's just boom, over. And the only people who enjoy the ending of a season are the ones who win it. Okay.
Well, no doubt.
So there is an abruptness to it. But this was so abrupt because it was early. And the way they went out was like they went out with a whimper.
Yeah.
Also, too, they went out against the Padres.
Yep.
And the Horrible. Padres, if nothing else, were always the team that Dodger fans could dismiss and make fun of.
Yep.
Like, you know, they made all these moves at the deadline, and for a while it didn't seem like it did any good. And it's like, oh, that's so cute the way you're trying. And then they end up beating the Dodgers. So you lose that element.
When we would lose, I assume you guys all do this too at some point. I don't know when it stops, when you're professional or college or whatever, but at the end of a year, we usually went out afterwards. There was usually like a team party but we'd like go to dinner or something like that. And we were in college. We didn't drink or anything. Like, it wasn't like, hey, we're out with a coach. I mean, maybe later at the frat party or something, but like at the official, like coaches are still here and we're, you know, whatever. But it was like, there was a lot of commiserating that we would do amongst ourselves. And then you kind of work through it. Like, you know, there's a sadness to it, but you work through it and you find a bit of closure and you find some motivation. And I'm sure everyone on the Dodgers had done that the past week. Fans do that too. It's part of our job as radio hosts to do that. I was here the day afterwards and it was sort of like the stages of, you know, grief, right? You know, like, that's kind of what, he's like a week out, and he's like, you know what, here's where
I am. He's still feeling it, which feels better. When you were at Stanford, I know you went to the College World Series, how many times?
Just once, just my last year.
Okay, so that, you're in the final stages of maybe winning a championship, right? So you can feel it. And did you win it the year you were there?
We finished third, ours was different though, okay? So every single year the first year was like a surprise. We were not even supposed to be good that year, and then we got a number one seed. We lost our first game at regionals, and we had to come back to the losers bracket. We didn't even make it to the World Series, right? Then after that, there were expectations, and each of those, my second and third years, we choked. We got to either regionals or super regionals and choked. And so there was this total, like, we are not going to choke again. Whatever we got to do to get to the World Series, we got to do it. If I have to, you know, stick my arm out and get hit by a pitch, I'll do it. If I have to pretend like I, you know, whatever it is, like, we are going to die before we don't go to the World Series again, right? So we finally get to Oklahoma City, and this was like making it for us. Mm-hmm. So everything that came afterwards was like gravy. We weren't going to win. But we had a chance at it, but once we got there, we were like loose. There was no pressure anymore.
That's the thing. That's what I was getting at. You were on good teams and not so good teams, right?
Horrible teams,
When you have that good team and you're expected to make a run,
right.
It's tight as a tick. Everything is tight.
The pressure was at regionals and super regionals.
Right, and when you're was on nothing really but mediocre teams. When the season ends, if you had some, it's like, all right, this is the worst ending to the best season.
Yeah.
Where it's just, okay, Everything's ready, then bam, it's over.
And when you know that you choked, like, you know it. Like, when your team chokes, like, and all I said, it wasn't me. There was one year it was me. I was like, oh, man, my junior year.
At the plate or in the field?
In the field. Oh, brutal. I made an error. It was terrible. And I'll never, to this day, I can replay the play in my head. Like, it was the girl was tagging up from second. I was in right field, and I caught the ball, and then on the transfer, I dropped it because I was trying to rush the throw. And I had an arm. I was going to throw her out. And to this day, I can, like, still feel it. Like, oh, my God, how did I?
That lost you the game?
I mean, no, there were three other plays.
It just
helped. In my head, it did. You know, okay. Like, there were three other plays that happened and whatever, but, like, in your head, the one play that you
What
make,
inning was it?
Probably, like, the fifth or so.
Oh, there's
late.
Plenty of time, plenty Momo. Of time. Let yourself off the hook.
You didn't pull up for a jump shot with 18 seconds to go, right?
Like, this throw wasn't a two-for-one.
And we've come full circle.
It feels like a good time. Mason and Island is coming up next. Momo and Andy are in. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
1:15 p.m. in the Southland. It is a live imaging Tuesday on Mason and Ireland. And usually I'm waiting for John to insult me or Mace. But neither are here today. And that's a positive, frankly. The great Andy Kamenetsky. And in the A chair, look at this. I've never experienced this in person.
Oh, yeah?
Momo, the great Ramona Shelburne. But Ramona, I love you. And I think you still love me, but you are fired up today.
Yeah, I'm kicking a little butt today.
What
I need from them.
What happened at Starbucks?
They weren't ready. Like, I call it on the mobile app. Like, it says it's gonna be ready at 12:44. I'm walking over from the TV studio. I'm like on a tight schedule.
So you did NBA
people.
today?
Yeah. Walking over, I'm on a schedule. I call it in right at the same time. And the last 2 days, when I call it in, they're like 5 minutes late from when it's supposed to be ready.
And when you walk in and you say, is Ramona Shelburne's order ready?
No, I
Ramona.
I wait like 5 minutes and I'm like, hey, are you guys close? Is there a order that's close? You know, because I got to go. I'm like live on the air in 5 minutes. And they're like, oh, la, 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 la. They don't have enough people in there.
How is it that
somebody needs to staff up. Let's go.
And I mean, far
this
be
is
it
America
for
right now,
you
right?
to talk about somebody being late, right?
Well.
Oh! Mason and Ireland, your Tuesday afternoon. Right now! That wasn't planned, Momo. You went right there and you left yourself open for that.
Not the day to do that to me. Not the day. Anyway.
Andy, you didn't say anything there in that whole thing.
I'm just letting you have your moment.
Right. Yeah.
You're using a stethoscope now. I've not seen this before.
Because the AirPod ones that I used, I blew one of them out. It was a little loud. You know, a lot of years in radio. So this one, I feel like it's a little bit more controlled.
It just looks very Clapper-esque. It looks like you're ready to do an examination.
I'm seeing Clapper tonight, actually.
Really?
You know, Clapper dinner. So maybe I'll bring these and show it to him.
You should.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's good to see you, too.
It's good to see you, too.
You guys have some fun, okay?
Yeah,
I'll be back.
Let's try it.
All right. Mason in Ireland right now.
Hey, Andy, what's going on?
How you doing, Momo?
I'm not used to that. Well, there's like so many lights in here now. It's like the Clipper lighting versus the Laker lighting. What happened here?
Well, they're
there's more shots fired.
Oh, everybody's going down today.
Here? I'm like, it's wide awake in here today.
No, it is for people who have not been able to go to a Laker or Clipper game in many years. There's a stark difference in
the
lighting.
Very different lighting.
Like
it's throwing me off.
Yeah, for the Lakers, it's very subdued, darker, like you're attending a Broadway show. For the Clippers, it's just everybody wake up. It's like lights on to get your kids awake.
Yeah, right? I don't know. Like I'm very into lighting right now because I always am turning the dimmer switch on when I put the baby down. That's always the go-to. And it does work. I think it does work. It makes you sleepier. Hey, Andy, I was at the Laker game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers had the game. There were people there. Okay, what's going on in here? Let's focus on the show. Okay, thank you. sorry.
You okay, Momo? Is everything
all
right?
No, this is
eyes on me thing.
I know.
I'm not either one of your children, Momo. I can look away. I'm going to be all right.
I'm gonna come in there just for a moment to set something up on your screen.
No, don't. Wait till the break. Thank you very much. I'm shooting free throws right now with signs in my face. I'm at the game, and they have the game won. The crowd visibly relaxes. They're up 8 points at the end of the game. And they put Russell Westbrook back into the game, and you can feel the crowd kind of go, huh, okay, let's see how this goes. Russ jacks up a couple shots. It's not all his fault, but the score shows a marked difference in that last few minutes of the game. They're up 8. Then Portland goes on a 14-4
run. Russ checked in at the 4:42 mark.
Oh, you know
the fourth quarter.
I do.
I've talked about this quite recently in the Locked On Lakers podcast, Momo. It's available 5 days a week.
5 days a week.
Anywhere you get your podcast, and there's a YouTube component. You can subscribe to that channel as well.
Hey, aren't you the guy who does the Lakers dance party hoedown on your phone?
It's not going to be the only one you hear.
but he checks in, and it's... And the correlation does not imply causation here, okay? We want to be fair to him. But because of it, all you have to do is say Russell Westbrook and everybody has an opinion now. And Ireland spent all yesterday telling me that it's not just Russ, it's the shooting, and they're shooting too much, and they're this.
Well,
and that.
As the final resident of Westbrook Island, he's got a lot of stake in protecting
him and Patrick Beverly. He's there with Patrick Beverly on his podcast, who's got his back. There's this feeling that everyone's amped up. Like post game, LeBron even said, hey, back off. I'm not going to be that guy. And Brian Windhorst, my colleague, came out with a column today that said, in these moments, when everybody's amped up, when people want answers and change and movement and solutions right away, the most important thing to do is show discipline. To take a breath, to show discipline, to calm yourself down. And look at the whole board and not just get him out of here, send him home, make a trade, go get Buddy Hill, right? Like there is this sense of it's 3 games into the season, and though those 3 games do matter, the Lakers have such a small margin for error in whatever they do next that it is vitally important in this moment to take a breath and make sure that you have some discipline with what you're doing.
Yeah, it's funny when you say like the idea of looking at the entire board, and you're 100% correct, but the problem is they're looking at the board right now, and they're like, wow, you moved there, checkmate. You moved there, checkmate. You moved there. Wow, there are a lot of checkmate options here. And like the Lakers have, and not solely because of this, but very largely because of this, the byproduct of the Russell Westbrook deal boxed them into a corner. And the biggest risk with this deal was never Russell Westbrook's fit or Russell Westbrook's attitude or the pieces you gave up, not signing Alex Caruso for economic reasons. All those things mattered, and they were a big deal. The number one risk with that deal was if it goes sideways, unwinding it is going to be damn near impossible and with a lot of pain. Like that was always, like you are likely looking at either a 2-year commitment to Russell Westbrook or being very unhappy with your options in trying to make it a 1-year commitment.
Brian's words, which I think I'll just read them verbatim. If the Lakers were to hire an emotionless consulting firm to evaluate their path forward, there's a pretty good chance the advice would be something like this. Focus on the summer of 2023. during which the team is positioned to have around $50 million in salary cap space. And the leverage, and the Lakers can leverage this historic desire of players to come to LA by a free agency or trade. This is the cleanest, cheapest, and possibly the quickest way to ensure a turnaround. It might mean, hold on, brace yourself, not trading Westbrook. Instead, allowing his salary to simply fall off the books.
Yeah, that is an option. They have one move left. They have one move in terms of what you do with Westbrook's contract, either trading it or coming off the books, and you have those two 27, 20, 29 picks that you have full control over right now in terms of trading them.
There's a pressure on it when you realize there is such a small window or needle to thread, however, whatever analogy you want to use. There's a pressure to it when there's such a small needle to thread where it's, you have one move, you have these two picks, you have a $47 million salary. And when deals come at you, we all seen Moneyball, right? Like the scene where they call Billy Bean and they makes one offer and he says, I need a little bit more of this. And he gets an answer and he says, deal, hangs up the phone. Sometimes deals have to be decided on very quickly because they go away.
Yeah.
I mean, and deals of this magnitude have to be studied and analyzed on a high level. You have to know exactly what you're looking for. You're never going to find the perfect deal, especially at this stage. But they have to be decided on quickly when they come in, and you have to know what you're asking for. And there's such a pressure on it that I don't know if you can decide quickly. A lot of the deals that the Lakers had to decide on over the summer were not quick.
Well, this is the problem, though, when you are trying to negotiate from a place of weakness. And the Lakers are in a place of weakness both as a team right now, but also they're in a place of weakness because they don't have many assets to work with. Like their options for what they want to do is so limited. And the big piece that they're looking to trade out salary-wise, Westbrook, is, I think, viewed by every team around the league as a salary dump. He's not viewed as a player. Maybe there's a team out there that would try him on the court, but the majority of teams are looking at him as purely money coming in that we will eventually lose. So you put all of that together, and the Lakers only have two picks. It's not like they can sweeten the offer. Like, the offer is the offer. Assuming they want to put it out there, that's it. That is a position of weakness. So in a lot of ways, it makes it so you can't act quickly because you know there's no follow-up coming. This is it. Whatever you do, that's it.
Andy, when we get to the place where there's actually decisions to be made, right, when they have a trade that they could make or not make, how quickly do you think you could make a decision? Like, if the trade comes in and you, the offer, or you have somebody who's actually engaged in the conversation, do you feel with a decision of this magnitude, right? Like, this is a decision of this magnitude. And I don't know why everything goes back to Game of Thrones for me. Is it too soon to, like, draw in a House of the Dragon this Sunday night analogy?
No.
Okay. All right.
It's been 48
for those of you
hours.
Don't watch the Dragon show, okay? We're finally there. There's going to be a war, okay? The kids are going. The king has died. The kids on both sides are going to go fight for the... I know. Sorry. It's okay. I'm not ruining it. Don't worry. That was set up in the last 2-3 episodes, okay? And everybody wants to just rush right in. Like, let's go. The fight's on. And Rhaenyra, who is one of the people who are vying for the crown, says, I need to sleep on it. You'll have my answer in the morning. Like, let's take a minute and let's assess our options. And it's the hardest thing to do is say, wait, is to say, we need a minute. Let's study it. Let's let the board come together. And I think after reading Brian's story today, I was more in the, like, you got to make a move quickly because you got to do something because these 5 games, these 10 games, whatever it is, these matter. But Ryan's right. Like, they have to take their time and make the right choice.
Sure.
You have to let the board develop.
Sure, but, you know, we can talk about this coming up. Beyond the fact that they're dealing from a place of weakness, there's another element at play that makes taking your time feel even more treacherous and more scary. Another factor at play.
Good tease, Andy. When we come back, Andy, you'll educate us. Hey, this past season, technology took sports viewership to the next level. The NHL used puck and player tracking technology to let TV viewers know who was doing what, where the puck went, stats, and more. NBA teams feature digital fans in the stands to watch games virtually and pump the players up. When it comes to hiring for your business, there's one solution that's been advancing this technology for years. ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology identifies people with the right skills and experience and invites them to apply to your job. It's a winning formula. I wonder, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate in the first day. So if you want to step up your hiring game, give ZipRecruiter a shot. You've got nothing to lose, because right now you get the chance to try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LA. What are you waiting for? Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LA. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Live Imaging Tuesday with Mason and Ireland. Momo and Andy Kamenetsky in. Make sure you're listening to Mason and Ireland next week for your chance to win a luxury oceanfront getaway to Terranea Resort. 2-night stay at an Ocean View suite, Lexus LC to drive for the weekend, golf at the Lynx, dinner at Catalina Kitchen, and limo service to Crypto.com to watch a basketball game. That's a heck of a giveaway.
That's all right.
That's a lot for Mason Ireland listeners next week.
That is a lot. Mafia, pay attention.
You know, when you
the Mason
roll
Ireland
up in
mafia.
A,
I actually missed that for a moment. That's
when you
me.
Roll up in a limo, you get to park in the special parking lot.
That's like that lot right there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And there's like a, I think they have the red carpet and the ropes and all that, and you know.
I don't know if we signed up for all that, but we got the limo.
I think you do. I've seen people roll up like
just
that.
Just a limo comes in. A limo could have Andy and I in it, and we still get the little red
carpet. Is it
going
to be like the Uber drop-off, like right in front by where they're selling the bacon-wrap hot dogs? Is that it?
I don't know. A limo is a limo. I don't know who's driving it. Greg might have to drive it. We
Uber?
Don't know.
I'm a very good limo
Uber
driver.
Limo?
Are you really? Corporate
no,
Greg?
I was an Uber driver for a long time. Well, not a long time.
Momo, did you hear Corporate Greg had to run the board for our first couple segments
really?
Of Travis and Sliwa?
Travis and Sliwa today, yeah.
It was bumpy.
It was bumpy as being nice, so thank you for that.
No, it was bad.
It was bad. Thank you. It was
Andy
very
just
bad.
Walked into me. I'm on fire today.
No, I'm good with it. No,
y'all don't usually see me fired up like
I
this.
I like Momo fired up.
You like me? Okay. Right.
Yeah.
See did we get this? Well, we have Starbucks. You brought in Starbucks.
I never
stuff.
Got my Starbucks. Somebody was going to run down and get it for me, but it didn't happen.
The hell is Momo's drink?
I don't know. What else do I have to do? Do I have to clap my hands?
This is a bad performance. This is like Dave Roberts' performance. Find her drinks or whatever it is and let's get it fixed.
Yeah,
okay. This is Ramona's show.
Yeah, run the analytics and find her drink.
I don't have
Come
my
on.
Headphones. I got no
What
I
do you want,
no
Ramona?
Coffee,
I'll go get it.
It's okay. It's okay.
No, Parker's going to get it. He's going to go right now.
Sorry.
Parker better hurry.
You better run, Parker.
I'm not saying it's Parker's last day, but... Come on. Who's Parker?
All right, Mason and Ireland with Momo and Andy continues now.
Oh, you got me fired up. Look at me. I'm like on,
like
I'm on one today.
I like this.
You like me fired up?
Use it.
Every once in a while. Every once in a while it happens.
I'll roll with whatever. You know.
I know. I'm on one today. All right, well, you got me fired up too. What is the other thing that they have to think about?
Okay, it's not just the idea the Lakers, with this one shot they have of improving the team using the 2 first-round picks they have total control over for like the next 3 to 5 years right now, and Russell Westbrook's deal, whether you're moving it in salary or letting it come off the books, creating your own cap space, there is the pressure cooker of A, feeling like any day could be the day AD gets hurt, or any day is the day LeBron gets hurt, or how much, if this season is going well and they're staying healthy, how much can you risk, you know, this not being the one that you capitalize on, but also the pressure cooker of, if you are concerned that Russell Westbrook is unhappy with this situation, unhappy with feeling scapegoated, because make no mistake, he is being scapegoated right now. In some certain respects, it's fair. Certain respects, it's not. But either way, you know, you ain't got Frank Vogel to kick around anymore. So now it's Russell Westbrook. Russ doesn't seem like somebody who's going to just roll with this all year. So there's that pressure cooker as well.
So
there's a lot of factors at play in figuring this thing out. And that can be difficult with
every
patience.
Once in a while, I'll be talking to my, he's now 4. And I'll try to explain things in 4-year-old terms. And I come up with some sort of pearl of wisdom where I'm like, huh, that's interesting. Okay. So my pearl of I didn't mean for this to be so wise, but it came out the other day. Okay. I was trying to say to my 4-year old, when we go fast, we oftentimes go slow. Because when you try to rush something, mm-hmm. you end up messing something up. Like you slow yourself down yep. because you'll screw something up. You won't think of something because you're like that. When we go slow, we actually go fast.
That's what I tell my daughter when we're going over like her math homework because she'll try yeah. to rush through it. I'm like, slow down. We'll get this done quicker if you slow down.
Yeah. And there's a sort of energy that people get with losing, and especially losing when you have superstars, and especially losing when you have a superstar who's 38 and still performing at an incredibly high level, but there feels like an energy of like, gotta solve this now, let's go, it's game three games.
Can't waste LeBron's prime. This could be the last year of his prime. Can't waste it.
Like, there's a sort of, if you go too fast, you're going to slow yourself down. You're going to mess something up along the way. And as Brian Windhorst pointed out in this column, which I think was excellent today, this morning on ESPN.com, they have one shot at this. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no, like, oops, we did that one and we got a course correct. They already did that.
Yeah.
The one that they messed up, that was the Westbrook
deal. It's funny. I hear people all the time talk about, like, the stage they're in right yep. now. Like, when you have LeBron James, you are expected to always be in all-in mode. You have to always be looking yep. to go all-in. And my response is always, they did make the all-in move. It was Russ. They lost. And they are the equivalent of, if you're playing poker, you made your all-in move, or what you think is your all-in move, you lost, you think you have all your chips gone, you start to walk away, and then you look in your little cup holder, and it's like, oh, you know what? A few chips there I didn't realize were there. So you sit back down, but you are playing short-stacked.
Yep.
That's what the Lakers are doing right now.
Look at this service. Look, we got this service. I ask, Chris Morales hops to it. Look at this.
But he's holding it for himself.
No, I'm going to personally hand deliver it.
Oh, look at this service. Nice. This is the kind of service I'm talking about.
What was that, 3 minutes after I said we're going to take care of it? Look at that.
You know what? Maybe you're corporate Chris.
Ooh. No. Consultant Chris.
Chris.
No corporate.
I mean, I did yell to the back. Yeah. Hey, Parker.
Go.
Whoever the hell this Parker guy is, he's on
but
notice.
You don't get credit for it because Chris is the one who did it during the live imaging.
Of course.
Now, was this, I don't mean to downplay the drama that we had in the beginning, yeah. but this was it?
This was it. This is all I needed. It was also.
Why couldn't they just make that for you when you said, hey, this isn't working?
Because they only have two people working there right now.
That's an outrage.
Well, it's also America right now. Mm-hmm. They just don't have enough people working anywhere, right? It's always it's a thing.
I understand.
It's a thing in America now.
I try to stay away from those things, but yeah. I do bits.
Thank you. You do bits.
Like this bit.
Look
we got
at this.
You. Now enjoy.
Thank you very much.
Chris is, though,
clearly,
for real.
I need to be more wired on caffeine today.
Chris is a go-getter, though.
He is.
Like, you create a lot of things around here. You are something of a problem solver.
Or a problem causer.
Well, I would say both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you actually, on balance, solve more problems than you cause.
We hope. We try, my friend. All right. Mason and I will continue.
Thank you. Well, as we were talking about, Angie, there is advantages to waiting. The advantage is you get more time to see the full board.
Mm-hmm.
Things develop. And they develop around the league, too. So there is one of the big subtexts to this year in the NBA is Victor Wembanyama is coming. And there's a lot of teams that would like to have him on their team. If the lower they get in the lottery, the better odds they have of getting him. So around about December, January, if your team is not something, if you're not winning, there's going to be a lot of teams that decide we want to make sure we have the best odds possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the time frame when you can see another disgruntled star. You could see things that aren't working out in certain situations, underachieving teams, a team with an injury. There's going to be more options sooner than there normally are in the NBA. That's one advantage to waiting.
It is an advantage, I guess, theoretically. But to me, there's two problems with that school of thought. First mm-hmm. of all, depending on how long you wait, if you're the Lakers, the way the season shakes out, the trade that you are waiting on might not make a difference because you're too deep into the hole. But the other problem to that for me is obviously there could be a surprise team that just craps the bed that you don't expect and all of a sudden is in the Wembanyama sweepstakes or the Scoot Henderson sweepstakes that you didn't expect. But for the most part, I feel like we know who those teams are. And if you're thinking about trade rumors, for example, like the Lakers have been linked all offseason still now to Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, I don't think there's a player on any of the Wembanyama sweepstakes teams that's better than Miles Turner.
Now, I would agree with that.
So however, in that sense, what are you waiting on?
You're waiting on what happens with Kyrie Irving and the Nets, who just lost again last night to Memphis. You're waiting on the Sixers to see, well, they're 1-3 now. They haven't looked great.
But
they beat the Pacers last night. Harden's under contract for, it was a 1-1 that he signed. Embiid has a lot of years left on his deal, but let's just see what happens with that whole situation in Philly because they have a lot of expectations on them. You're waiting to see what happens in Minnesota. Things. There's a lot of teams out there that are still figuring out if they fit together. Right? There are things that could shake loose. And also, there's the unexpected. Who thought Indiana was going to have a fire sale after last year?
Right. That is true. They've never been a tear-it-down team and start over. That is not what they do. So, yeah, I mean, there is that element of surprise. It just, you have to weigh that. You have to weigh whatever percentage you think there is of a surprise emerging versus what is going to be our record by the time we've discovered surprise. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, and then there is the option of what if you don't, if you're not trading Russell Westbrook, what do you do with him?
That is a very talked about question at the moment.
Think about that as we come back for Wheel of Questions. I got a good one today.
Ooh.
Got a good one. It's going to lighten the mood
okay.
a little bit. All right. That's Andy. I'm Momo. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. Huh. All right. It's a good one today. It's a good one. It's going to lighten the mood.
Weird.
Right? We're talking about Halloween. This is just right on schedule. What is the best Halloween costume you ever had? Or you ever came up with?
One year, my brother and I went as Luke and Owen Wilson from the Royal Tenenbaums.
Okay.
Wow. That was actually a pretty fun
costume.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Who was who?
I was Richie Tenenbaum, the tennis player.
Okay.
And Brian went as Owen Wilson, who
wow.
I don't even remember. Wow. I don't even remember what that costume would be.
Are they how do you rank in terms of famous brothers amongst the, there's like the Wilsons?
I mean, they're obviously behind me and Brian.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, wow. let's see, there's the Wilsons.
The Bryan brothers, they've won Grand Slams.
Bryan brothers, there's the Hemsworths. There's a bunch of Hemsworths out there. Okay. There are the Quaids.
Randy and Dennis.
Yes, Bill Murray has a bunch of brothers. There was Brian Doyle who... Brian Doyle still with us?
I think he just passed.
He did just pass, but he had another brother, Joel, and then obviously Bill Murray's comedy icon. Before Randy Quaid went insane, Dennis and Randy were pretty strong together.
Yeah.
The Hemsworth, right now is a big Hemsworth time. Like the Hemsworths pretty big at the moment.
I think the Wilson brothers are up there, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just killed somebody. Sorry. Brian Doyle Murray is still alive.
Excellent.
He's 76 years old.
Excellent. Well, that puts the Murrays.
I didn't mean to kill you. Sorry, Brian Doyle.
That puts the Murrays right back in competition. This is very exciting.
Greg, what's your best Halloween costume, kid or adult?
So my best Halloween costume, I was a fat bastard from Austin Powers.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was good. I put a big inner tube inside of it, so it made me look real big and fat. And I walked down Hollywood, in like West Hollywood, you know, the parade in West Hollywood that's gone now. They got rid of it, which is ridiculous.
I know.
But yeah, so I would walk down that, and I was got pictures were taken with me, the whole deal. It was a lot of fun. That was a great costume. And I talked like it, so that was fun.
Oh, you did the Scottish accent?
Get in my belly.
All right, don't worry.
Here, baby.
That's good.
I'm going to eat you.
High school.
It's like a whole new Greg.
Yeah.
it's like a new side of you. All right.
Well, you just haven't heard it. It's there. Sorry, go ahead, Jorge. Yeah.
No, it's cool. High school, four of my soccer teammates, we bought sumo wrestling, those inflatable ones, and we just dressed up as sumo wrestlers.
That's good. I like that.
That's fun.
Yeah, those inflatable ones.
Yeah.
What was yours? Was it something political?
Oh, yeah. I was a huge nerd. Okay, like I need one of those John Ireland shirts, dork with a platform. I went through a stage.
D-WAP.
Yep.
D-WAP.
How was your Ruth D-WAP. Bader Ginsburg costume?
No, I mean, even weirder, okay? Like, I was into politics when I was a kid. And, like, I mean really a kid, like elementary school, okay? I once went to school as Mikhail Gorbachev. Like, I got a Gorbachev mask. And I used my dad's suit. I think I was, like, third grade. And then the next year, I went as George Bush, like the older Bush. like the president.
HW.
Yeah, HW. And I would go trick or treat, and they would be like, "Who are you?" And I was like, "I'm the president." And then I would say, "No new taxes."
Wow.
And people, instead of trick or treat, that was like a real thing that I was fourth grade for.
Fourth grade. So what you
we
were?
We should have known
9,
something
10?
Was up. Yes.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Like that's I don't know. That's either
read
cool
my
or
lips,
super
trick
weird.
Trick or treat.
I used to get the mask all the time too. You know, you go to the store, you get a full on. It's like hot in there.
So like most people would get those masks because they want to reenact Point Break. Momo's getting that mask because she wants to actually pretend to be the president.
And I got the Gorbachev mask with the little birthmark on his head and stuff. I'm like,
wow.
Nobody knew who I was. I thought it was very clever.
I'm going to tell you, if you did that, if you wore that now, like if you came in next Monday and were wearing that, I would have no idea who you were either.
Yeah,
no chance.
You might, but Gorbachev?
Yeah, no.
He got that red birthmark on his head.
Yeah, no, I know who he is and like the stuff. I just, you know, just
now
those
he
things.
Just,
like,
he
oh,
just
you're
left us,
Gorbachev.
Correct. Didn't Gorbachev just
I don't know,
recently
pass? Are you trying to kill him too?
I'm not trying
no,
to.
No, he died.
Yes,
Gorbachev
he
just
did
died.
Just recently
he did.
Died.
I know that one.
You sure?
I mean, that was my guy, I guess.
Momo did a week. Momo did a week of mourning at home. Ned was in charge of two kids.
Very, very recently, August 30th, 2022. So you're right on there.
Yeah.
I need a little time to myself, Nevin. Yeah. Gorbachev just died.
I know. He was like 91. Good long
that was the
life.
Best Halloween
camp.
Costume I ever wore.
I know. I don't know if that was the best, but it was definitely the weirdest. Hey, so let's get back to the Lakers here. And you're a good question guy. Okay. We haven't really been in the locker rooms until this last year. Yeah. It's been a while. So I was back in the locker room the other day, and the Lakers were, you know, they have these press conferences. Mostly LeBron and Anthony Davis go to the press conference room. Russ, the last few games has just been, no, I'm in my locker, man. I want to get out of here as soon as possible. Let's wrap this up. And so you can see the reporters figuring out, am I going to just ask this? How am I going to ask him? Like, hey, so couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. How does that feel? Like, how are you going to ask him that? Right? That's essentially what they're all, every single question is. And you're trying to be professional. You're trying to ask it in a nice way, but also in a way that you get the right answer. And Dave McMenamin, our colleague, I think did a pretty good job of it, but it made for some super cringy locker room sound.
In the late stages of the game with a lot of time left on the shot clock, 2-for-1 was the thought process.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When the team went on the run, when you were out of the rotation and you came back in, what was the mentality that you were looking to close out the game with when you came back?
What's the question again?
What were you looking to do?
The whole question.
When the team went on a run when you were not in the game at that point.
Okay.
What were you looking to do when you came back in?
Just play. I'm confused on like the team went on a run when I was out the game and then I came back in.
Yeah.
You saying what I was trying to do?
When you came back in.
Nothing. Just play. Yeah.
See, there was a couple points where, and you know, I've been there, done that. It's not fun to ask people questions when they don't want to answer questions, don't feel like being there. What threw, I think, Dave off in terms of getting the result that he wanted, I think should have just asked, was that shot a 2-for-1?
I think that one had already been asked.
Well, maybe it had been asked.
He had already said the 2-for-1. To me, the issue
is the out of the rotation. When he said when you were out of the rotation, he obviously meant when you were not in the game, but I think in certain respects it felt like a Freudian slip. Like when you, because there's always talk about will Russ remain in the rotation? But I think for the most part in these situations, the best thing to do is just ask the question as directly as possible.
Agreed.
And don't worry about whether they want to answer the question like the way to make them happiest about it. They don't want to answer it at all. Just ask directly whatever it is you want to know.
Which brings me to the larger point about Westbrook. If you're not going to rush into a trade, which by all indications they're not, they're going to take their time with a trade. But my sense being at the game on Sunday and talking to people in and around the team is that the situation with Russ is going to be addressed sooner rather than later. What does that mean? Does that mean send him home? I don't know. Does that mean not start him, limit the minutes in crunch time, have a quicker hook if he's not doing what they want him to do? That's where I think they're going to land. fairly quickly in the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 games, whatever it is. Okay. But his response to that is what matters.
Yeah.
Whatever they do next with him, whether it's play him less, not start him, play him, not play him down the stretch, his response to that sets the tone for the rest of the Lakers season and for the rest of his career.
Yeah. There's a non-zero percent chance that Russell Westbrook will be out of the league after this season, even on a veteran's minimum. If he does not start showing that he really can adjust into a next stage of his career, whatever that is, it becomes really difficult to figure out where he fits. Like, even again, at a veteran's minimum, like, what is he going to provide your team? Because if you're a rebuilding team, no need for him. If you're a contending team, you probably don't need him. Like, or certainly you don't need him insisting on playing his own way. So the places where he actually fits, and then, you know, one that actually needs a guy at his position, they start becoming incredibly limited, especially if it seems like he's going to insist on doing it his way.
Well, and it's that whole question and answer sequence is indicative of the issue. Dave is a professional. He's trying to ask this question in a professional way.
Yeah, Dave's great.
But there's no way you can ask that without it, the context being, it's the elephant in the room. It's like, hey, they were up 8 when you were out of the game, and then they went on then they lost by 2 after you came back in. And then the dismount that Dave came up with was, what were you trying to do when you came back in the game? Not a bad way of asking that question, but I think the more direct question would have probably got a stronger response from Russ. Maybe he would have just shut down completely. I don't know. But it's also what the Lakers have to do here. The time of being nice or dancing or finding a polite way to do it, showing respect, it might be pretty close to over.
Well, I don't even know if there's so much trying to find a polite way to do it as, okay, we need this to work if possible, not even for a long-term effect, but just to get the most out of this season. Yeah. So we're going to try to see if we can get through to you in some respects. And to Russ's credit, he's been working harder defensively this year than he ever has, certainly his time with the Lakers, but probably the last few years of his career. He's been taking care of the ball better. I thought the game against Portland was the first time where Russell played, I think, pretty much just across the board bad. Like, his decision, it's not the missed shots, because get in line, everybody was missing shots. It was the decision-making in that game. His decisions were often just flat-out awful. I think, though, this game tomorrow in Denver, if you're going to look to move him to the bench, I think this is a good game to do it, because it's a 2-game road trip. You're away from a lot of the local media. You're going to be asked fewer questions about it from the people who would care. By the time you get back on Sunday, it's less of a talking point story, and you sort of get him used to it. You know, there's no quiet way to do this, but relatively speaking, a quieter way to make this thing happen. And if he's willing to lean into it, I actually think it's better for him, much less the team.
You know, last year, do you remember the press conference with Brad Turner and Russ?
Yeah.
Brad Turner kind of, he asked him
Turner is an LA Times veteran. He's not the guy to try to intimidate.
No, it was one of my all time cringy press Love conference BT. Moments. But it was a back and forth that was 8-9 questions back and forth of Russ. Russ likes to do a thing where when he doesn't like your question, he'll ask you to repeat it and sort of parse your words and parse your statements, and that's just a way of kind of going around the question. So Brad said something like, what do you guys need to do to win these ball games or not have a second half like that? And Brad said, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. And Russ says, well, I would like your opinion. You obviously have some idea like that. And it got combative, but that's fine. And I talked to somebody close to Russ afterwards, and they were like, Russ didn't even think that was bad. Like, that's kind of, he likes that combativeness, that back and forth, the give it to me straight kind of thing, and I'll answer you straight, and you may not like it, whatever it is. Like, But
you know what, though? He wasn't answering it straight because he had thoughts on it. Like, this is something we can talk about this maybe later. It's, you know, next segment or coming up whenever. As competitive as Russ is, and he's obviously competitive, you can't reach the levels that he has in professional sports without being wired inherently competitive. He's more combative than he is competitive. Like, Russ needs a foil. I think he looks for a foil. I think he looks to personalize and make things competitive and conflict oriented. Like, he needs that for some reason. And I don't know Russell Westbrook well at all, so I can't begin to tell you the reasons why, but I think it's obvious, and I don't think it serves him well now, because he's not playing at a level where A, he can back it up, but B, it sort of justifies the headache that comes with it. Like when Russ was doing this stuff, because he's always done it, when he was at an MVP level caliber player, then all right, whatever. You're being obstinate, fine. You're also one of the best players in the league. He's not even close to the best player on his own team now. And I think he makes this stuff now harder on himself. And I don't care about this as somebody who works in media. Like it doesn't make my job any harder or easier. You can always find something to talk about. But in terms of the treatment that he gets from fans, which to be clear, fans should not cross a line, but this feeds into it. Like in terms of being an unsympathetic character, this actually feeds into it.
When we come back, we have a story that I think I used to care about, something that I would have got really worked up over about 3 or 4 years ago. But now, not so much. It's Andy Kamenetsky. I'm Momo. In for Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.